You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Washington to Hollywood and right back to Wisconsin, it's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach. Connecting the dots on the stories shaping our world with smart takes, sharp humor, and plenty of personality.
You know, I really expected more professional behavior from you.
It's news and culture without the noise.
Yeah, I'm on.
Here's Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach.
All right, welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, it is a Wednesday night here in the beautiful state of Wisconsin, and we are coming to you live. Like every night, sitting across the state from me, as usual, is Mr. Greg Bach. Hey, buddy.
Hello.
How are we doing?
I'm doing quite well. It's one more day until opening day. I'm rocking my Brewers short sleeve hoodie that I love, but it's still way too warm to wear it. Oh, my goodness gracious. It's like 65 degrees here right now.
Come on. Really?
Yeah.
You got 65 there?
Mm-hmm. 66 mm-hmm. over here.
Wow, really, Dom. Really, goodness. just take that knife and just twist it while you're at it. My goodness. But it's a great day to be alive in America. I've just said that for whatever reason. But yes, I'm doing well today. It's a good day. I got to spend some time with my dog, which I always love. And now I'm here with two wonderful individuals, and we have a fantastic show for you tonight, folks. Pete, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm excited because it's opening day is tomorrow, right?
Correct. Well, okay. Home opener is tomorrow, yeah.
Is that early? Don't they typically wait till like April 1st?
Okay. No, they've been doing it now towards the end of March now. It used to be early April, but because money and people and more money and money and money and money and money and let's make some more money.
Yeah.
Money.
I was talking about cricket, but if you want to go baseball, that's fine.
I want to love cricket.
Yeah, it's pretty similar, right?
No, it's not. And I know that because I got yelled at by a cricket fan who told me that. I said to him, I really love baseball and I feel like they're cousin sports. He goes, not really. There are some ideas that are the same to a point, but it's very different. And then he explained it. I said, I'm never going to retain any of this information at all whatsoever.
I'll stick with America's pastime. Thank you very much.
Yes, indeed. Tomorrow is, let's see here. You are right. The first opening day is the first game of the year. Usually we've been on the road before, but yeah, tomorrow is a first day period. So yes, okay. Playing in Milwaukee. I was going to try to go to the game, but between like I'm in Kenosha and Racine and driving all the way to Milwaukee with traffic and everything, like that thing of you can go somewhere and do something, but you can't enjoy it because you're just sitting there thinking to yourself, well, I have to leave early. And then if there's traffic and if this thing happens and if I'm leaving you two in the lurch because something takes place, I just said, I can't enjoy this game, so I won't go. So I'll just enjoy it from like here.
Well, we appreciate your dedication to this show, don't we, Dom? Dom,
absolutely.
Lee,
yeah.
Holding down the fort in Madison there.
And you already know that they're going to win. They're playing against the White Sox.
I really wish you hadn't said that.
I don't know.
I really wish you hadn't said that.
It's the White Sox, though.
Dude, we got swept by the Athletics last year, man. Ooh. We got swept by the Athletics. We swept the Dodgers in the regular season.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And we got swept by the Athletics. So, Dom,
never know.
Keep your trap short.
Never know.
Hey, this is kind of cool. We've got all within a 90-mile radius. We've got a Brewer fan, a Sox fan, and a Cubs fan. So we've got all the bases covered, right?
As Brett from Brown Deer calls it, the Yadier Hay Triangle.
That's right.
Pete, what do we have on the show tonight?
We've got a great show. Our pal, Martin Alvarado, will be here.
Yes.
From the Madison Public Library. We're going to talk to Martin. He's going to make some book suggestions. We'll ask him about what is new in the library game. I love his gig. That seems like
what
the
if
most...
there was something like super new? Like,
listen, I if I wasn't doing this or didn't go into show business, I think working in a library or a theater would be really cool. Like kind of chill. You know, it just seems like kind of a good gig. But anyway, Martin will be here at this hour. We'll talk to Martin at 5:35. And then my pal, soon to be our pal, Frank Hermans, will join
us in the second hour. Nope. Other way around.
I'm sorry. I got completely confused. We usually do entertainment stuff in hour two. But tonight, you're right. Frank Hermans will be here at 5:30. Mm-hmm. We're going to kick things off with Frank. And then we'll do some library talk in the second hour with our pal, Martin. So thank you for the clarification. Those are the benefits of working with a host, Greg.
That's I am here for you. Always.
What if they were like both listening and totally panicked and like drove off the road or something?
What if they were both listening and got offended and they were like, "Well, if I can't even with this place, Civic, who? I don't care anymore." I don't think they'd be like that.
Both of them are pretty cool guys. I don't see that happening. But anyway, yeah, we got a great show, great guests, and we've got a great question tonight, which we should probably get to. Here's the Nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Pregunta. Love that. Our question tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is who is the most annoying voice in sports? It can be an announcer, it can be a player, a passerby, whoever annoys you the most when they talk about sports. It could be the sound of their voice, what they say, it doesn't matter. Who is the most annoying voice in sports? You can let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also, if you're watching the radio, drop us a stream comment at Facebook, YouTube, or X Twitter, and let us know what you think. And you can also text in who you think is the most annoying voice in sports on the Civic Media app, which you absolutely need, folks, because why, Greg?
Well, I think because we are in the middle of the Break Into Spring Text to Win multi-state contest, and this is the 5 o'clock hour, which means we have a keyword raring and ready to go for everybody here. So here's what you do. Open up that Civic Media app right now. Get to the channel of your choice, WAUK, and you're going to text in the word to possibly win, to enter to win $200 today. We give away $200 a day, and then every entry you do throughout the day goes into a grand prize drawing for a mattress set from Verlo as the grand prize. So you got nothing to lose here. And if you don't have the app, download it right now. It's absolutely free, and you can participate right now if you'd like as well. So open up that app, get ready to text in the word. The word for this hour is bird, B-I-R-D. The bird is the word, B-I-R-D. See?
Let's do the bird.
There it is. As if, let's listen to that song about the bird. B-I-R-D is the word here for the 5 o'clock hour. So take out that Civic Media app, text in the word bird for your chance to win $200 and go into a grand prize drawing for a mattress set from Verlo. Bird is the word, B-I-R-D. Good luck, everybody.
Here's why this is such a great contest. What we have here at Civic Media, everybody needs a good night's sleep, and everybody needs some walking around money. So what do you got against that?
Oh, I mean, honestly, I can't think of a single solitary reason why it would be bad.
It's a flawless contest.
Yeah.
Good luck, everybody. So let us know what you think. What do you say, guys? Should we get to some news? Or
I think we should get to... Don, wait, well, hold on. Don, what do you think?
I'd say...
Pete and I are always like, let's do this. And I'm like, Don, what do you think?
You know what? Let's do this. Let's do it. The first big story.
Okay. So, in Wisconsin Public Radio, a.k.a. WPR reporting, today's the 25th, Racine County man convicted on election fraud charges after ordering absentee ballots for other voters. This story goes back all the way to 2022, but he was finally convicted on 3 out of 4 charges. 1 felony, 2 misdemeanors, 1 felony charge, not guilty. Harry Waite is his name. He's the Racine area man who requested 2 absentee ballots on behalf of other people to prove it could be done. He was convicted yesterday night on election fraud and identity theft charges. He wanted to do this to prove that there were flaws in the mail-in voting process. He wanted to, it says here, expose vulnerabilities in the voting system. He ordered ballots on behalf of Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and, wait for it, Racine Mayor Corey Mason. It took the jury 3 hours to deliberate. They found him guilty of 3 out of 4 charges, and he faces up to, it looks like, 7 years. I thought I saw that here. 7 years in prison. A sentence hearing has yet to be scheduled. His attorney has said they will appeal this, and he is standing strong in his convictions on this, and he should stand strong because he was convicted on this. He could go to jail for a long time, and he says he's not disappointed in the verdict. He said, I put the jurors in a very hard spot. I admitted I ordered 2 ballots, and I admitted I was not Robin Voss or Corey Mason. I wanted to test the system. This is what you get sometimes when you fight. That was his quote. I guess you could say, Harry, you proved that the system works, as we saw in 2024 when the same thing happened to a now former Milwaukee City employee who tried to do the same thing. So, Harry Wade of Racine County, you fought, you lost, yet you stand tall, and I don't know why.
Yeah, it's really strange. Like, it's like saying, well, you know, I went to rob a liquor store just to prove, you know, that people rob liquor stores, and I got caught. I mean, what? This just doesn't make any sense. This guy, his logic is kind of like the guy who, you know, stood in front of Alan Richson's Reacher's motorcycle. Like, maybe they're related. I don't know. But this is just really flawed logic. And you're right, Greg. The system worked. He got caught. Yep. And he admitted it. But, you know, they would have seen that Robin Voss already voted. They were there. There is, they keep pushing this election fraud thing. And it's so rare. It's not worth spending money on. And it's not worth passing legislation to keep people away from the polls either. This guy, Mr. Waite, will be, you know, painted as some type of freedom fighter, I'm sure, or patriot for committing fraud. And, you know, it just doesn't, it doesn't, or they'll set up, you know what they'll do? They'll set up a GoFundMe to help him with his legal. And I don't understand that. He broke the law. He admitted maybe he did it after he got caught. Either way, it's stupid.
Well, here's the timeline here. He ordered the ballots through the Wisconsin, through Wisconsin's My Vote website. By the way, myvote.wi.gov. Go and check out if you're registered. Go and check out where you vote. Check out your ballot. It's all right there. Myvote.wi.gov. But this proves right here, this is another in a long line of proof that this system does work. He did it, then he announced it to the world that he did it, as if he said, come and take me away. Put out his hands together, like waiting to be cuffed by the cops. He said, I am a criminal, but not nefarious.
But so, I'm really a hero.
Yeah, sure.
He was
one
of those critics of the 2020 election results as well, which was thrown out of like 60 courts by judges, oftentimes that president at the time, well, President just Trump
the current now. Yeah.
And it's just, it's like, and Robin Voss, you know, to his credit on that, did not decertify the election. So I don't know. I don't know why he picked those two people either. That's kind of strange. Like, wouldn't you pick an average Joe?
I think he was doing it to prove a point, because the thing was, is that the woman from Milwaukee 2 years ago, she actually ordered ballots for a person who was saying that the mail-in system was flawed as well, as to try to make a point. I understand he was trying to make a point. It was a dumb point to make. The law proved his point. Like, proved. I'm sorry. I take that back. Let me try that. The law proved that his point was wrong, and that the system is secure. But he is going to possibly go to jail for 7 years for that. So, I don't. I mean, he's not a hero. He's not smart. He's not someone who deserves any sort of credit. He didn't make a mistake. He did something on purpose. Like, he broke the law on purpose, and said, "Come and get me. See what I care. Spit on the floor." Blech.
And
I don't get it, man.
He's 71, and he might go to jail for 7 years. These are prime dating years.
Yes, it is.
So he is going to be in jail for those. That's where I feel the worst. But we've got a couple more stories coming up, folks, including just a little teaser here, Greg. Big settlement to someone who dealt with online addiction. We will tell you all the details. We've got Frank Herman's coming up after the news at 5:35. He is the founder of Let Me Be Frank Productions. He's very prolific and a very funny guy and one of my favorite guests. Tonight's question is, who is the most annoying voice in sports? So be part of the show, folks. Answer the question. We are coming right back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Nothing wrong with a little Marvin Gaye in hour one, I don't think. Thank you, Dom. Well done. Welcome back to Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabba. And joining me, or sitting across the state, I should say, is the air drummer extraordinaire, Mr. Greg Bach. You really should check us out on the stream, folks, if you want to see what we do, because it's so fun. And Dom Lee is in Madison holding down the fort, too. We're in the middle of our three big stories, but we got a phone call, which I think we should take, Dom.
Hey, Charles. It's Charles from Milwaukee. Good evening, sir. How are you today?
Hey, good evening, guys. I am great. It's gorgeous outside. Yeah, I got no complaints.
There you go. You wanted to talk about the most annoying voice in sports.
Yes. Chris Collinsworth. I like him as a wide receiver for the Bengals, but man, when he's the commentator for the Packers, I'm like, really? This is who he got? I believe he is the worst.
Yeah,
people always say that he just doesn't like Green Bay. He never feels joy when Green Bay is doing well.
That's to me, it seems like he doesn't like the Packers either. There's always criticisms, and I'm like, really? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But don't you think he loves Aaron Rodgers?
Well, that doesn't mean you like the Packers, though.
He might, but that's not the Packers, yeah. Mm. Yep. He's, I said, he's for me, he's the worst.
Well, thank you very much, Charles. I feel like you are beginning what is going to be an overwhelming victory for Mr. Collinsworth this evening. He will be the brandy old fashion of this conversation, if that makes any sense. You listened last night. Point is, there are some thoughts. Thank you so much, Charles, for tuning in and for calling in. We really appreciate you tonight. So, that begins. Who is the most annoying voice in sports? Text it in. Get in touch with us via the Civic Media app. Let us know your thoughts. And I have a feeling they're all going to be the same.
And I feel like I know for a fact we're going to hear more Chris Collins tonight. So Charles was totally on point, and I can't wait to read those right after the top of the hour. But we've got more stories here. Let's get to our next big story.
Okay.
Greg, this is an interesting one. I admit I tend to fall into the just turn off the internet, but I'm wrong. So this happened. A California jury on Wednesday found that Meta and Google's YouTube were on the hook for causing depression and anxiety of a woman who compulsively used the site since she was a small child. They gave her $6 million.
Jeez.
Holding Facebook base, or well, I should say Mark Zuckerberg and Silicon Valley accountable. They kind of made a point to say this is fueling a youth mental health crisis. And, you know, your first instinct, at least mine, was where are the parents? Turn it off. No. These programs, algorithms, code, whatever you want to be, are being designed to pull kids in. And this is causing serious issues, mental health issues for kids. And these are kids, they're targeting kids. So I say that wasn't enough, frankly.
No. And we'll go ahead and see how fast this goes into appeals and how long it will take for this young woman to see a single red cent of any sort of money is owed to her. And also, I can take the you know, sit on my porch and go, just turn it off and enjoy the nature. But it really is. I mean, I do feel like these people are sitting here tinkering with their algorithm to the point where they get these individuals hooked on it. And it's chemical in your brain. It can be drawn to a comparison of cigarettes or other things where it just, you have to have it in your life. You don't feel the same without it, and it brings you comfort, and it can lead to a lot of bad things. So I'd like to see more of these things coming down the pike. In fact, the fact that Meta and Google were like, it just, this kind of blew my mind. So it'll be interesting to see what happens next.
I think you're going to get your wish, because I just read that this case is tied to 2,000 other cases. So it'll be interesting to see where the chips fall. I also didn't know you had to be 13. Well, you're supposed to be 13 to use YouTube. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know they had those restrictions. So
I think all social media, but it's like, what year were you born in? If you can do math, there you go. Welcome to Facebook.
Right. Who could crack that code?
Exactly.
And I love what I read, that the lawyers for Meta and Google did not react to the jury's decision. They just sat there, which made me think those are AI lawyers designed by Google and YouTube. So there you go. But, good for this woman. I guess her name is Kaylee. All in favor of the verdict.
There you go. Great. All right, Pete, we got one more story for you.
Let's do it.
Yeah, there you go. Words. All right, lay it on us, Pete.
All right.
I love this.
Listen, a real sweetheart, the Hawk 2 girl, is back in the news. She is kind of relaunching her career a little bit. As you guys might remember, she was involved or blamed for a cryptocurrency. She created a coin, a crypto coin called Hawk. Clever. And within 24 hours, it tanked, taking the money of lonely people everywhere who followed her over the edge of the flat earth, and they lost their money. She was cleared, and I believe she didn't do anything. I believe that it was a company that took advantage of her. She was new to fame and all that kind of stuff. You could argue whether or not she should have been famous in the first place.
Correct.
For developing a sex term, I guess, but she did go away. And now she's back, and it'll see what kind of, you know, if she's relevant again. I don't know. I do at least think she practiced some contrition, though.
I mean, there's the age-old idea of everyone has their 15 minutes of fame, but in this day and age, maybe everyone gets 15 to 20 minutes of fame, and you get to rebrand yourself or I don't know. It's just like it's like she's relaunching her career. Everything tanked last year. It's been less than a year. Who even cares anymore? Like, big deal. She's got a podcast. Who doesn't? And so it's like... I don't know, like Haley Welch. Ugh.
But you don't have a podcast, Greg, called Talk Tua.
Fair point. I just have one called Nightlight with Pete Schwab and Greg Bach, which you can listen to as a podcast when you go to civicmedia.us/shows. Download episodes, listen to whenever you'd like here on the Civic Media Network.
Very well said. All right. We a reminder, this hour's keyword, folks, in our multi-state break into spring text to win contest here at Civic Media, which you have to have the app to play, and I know you all do, is BIRD, B-I-R-D. BIRD, as Greg said, is the word. So text that in on your app. We're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, Frank Hermans from Let Me Be Frank Productions will be here talking about some upcoming events. He's a blast. You don't want to miss this. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwab and Greg Bach on the Civic Media Network. Welcome back to Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwab. Joining me, as always, is Greg Bach and Dom Lee, holding down the fort in Madison, working the board, producing the show. We've got a great one tonight, folks. Martin Alvarado from the Madison Public Library will be here in hour two giving book recommendations. We're going to read your text for our question of the night, which is, who is the most annoying voice in sports? Text line is ringing. Does it ring? I don't know. Off the hook. We'll read those after the top of the hour. But right now, I'm very excited to welcome our first guest of the night. He is a fan favorite and one of my favorites here at Nightlight, and he joins us over the stream from Northeast Wisconsin, the legendary Mr. Frank Hermans. Hey, buddy.
Hola, it's a Frank, man, in brilliant Wisconsin. my home internet, I believe, is not as strong as it should be, but thanks for having me, Pete. Love doing your show, and love to talk about new stuff coming up.
Buddy, I'm telling you, any Frank is better than no Frank. And I love your website, because I think I've told you this before. I was looking at your upcoming shows, and there's a moment where you run the cursor over some icon, and it's your laugh going, ha, ha.
Yeah,
it scared the living daylights out of me today. I was not expecting that, but I love it.
Yeah. You just run it over my face. And it's kind of a funny story. 15 years ago when I redid the website, it's been a long time. I need to do it. But, The young lady who was helping me from PMI goes, God, Frank, we need to put your laugh in there. I go, okay. I recorded it on her phone one time, and that was it.
If you're not expecting it, though, and you have your computer turns up, it can make you go a couple feet in the air. It really freaked me out today.
Yeah.
It's great to have you, buddy. Let's do an icebreaker. Do you have a sports person or someone in that world, Frank, whose voice really annoys you, whether it's what they say or the way they say it or their actual voice?
Dick Vitale. That comes right to mind.
Wow.
I know. I got to tell you, baby, could he say it anymore, baby? You know, the Villanova Wildcats are great. I can't tell you that, but whoa, baby.
It's so accurate. Wow.
Man, if he was from Northeast Wisconsin, Frank, you'd have your next show there. That was pretty good.
Yeah, thanks, man. I tell you what.
You should just do that as an impression.
I should.
Like, yeah.
It's almost like you're talking from, there's another character who sounds just like this, and I'm trying to think who it is. Come on, Pete, help me.
It sounds like a Looney Tunes character.
Yeah.
Make sure you throw in plugs for Planet Fitness, Oberto Beef, and Hooters, too, while you're at it.
That's right, Dick. But I got to tell you, when that commercial came out, the first thing that came to mind was, he's still alive?
Yeah.
Sorry.
He's cashing that check, baby.
Baby, yeah. He's got baby. That one glass eye that's always looking the other way.
He's a caricature of himself now. So let's start off, Frank, with your new show. I love the title. You have such great, well, I just want you to tell people about it because it's so funny. And it's a little heartfelt, too, because I miss the institution you're writing about. Tell us about Hello Shopko, or Hello Shopko, Say Hello to a Goodbye.
Yeah, their tagline was, they had many taglines, but at the end it was Say Hello to a Goodbye, but I spell it B-Y-E. Hello to a Goodbye. Of course, Shopko Stores, that was our local mall in Wisconsin. 139 stores at one time, all the way out to Nebraska, 26 states. They started business in 1961, and in 2019, they closed 139 stores due to bankruptcy. They kept the Shopko optical stores going. But, you know, my memories are of the Shopko lady. In fact, Karen McDermott did a couple shows with her at St. Norbert College back in the day. And we have a character in the show who is the Shopko lady. We don't necessarily say it's Karen, but they're called the Shopko lady. And one of the things I did with this show is it's about a true story that really happened at Shopko store number 4, Green Bay East on Main Street. I'll divulge that story in a little bit, but one thing that we did with this show is it's like a Seinfeld episode. So I play Jerry and I talk like Jerry. And then we got Kramer's in the show, Elaine's in the show. So we do all the funny bits from Seinfeld based around Shopko store experience.
I love that. That's great.
Yeah.
It's funny, Frank, that you bring that up, that the show is based on that, because I watched a video the other day talking about the rise and fall. Actually, two of them. One about the rise and fall of Kmart and the other about the rise and fall of Sears. And it's weird because I can remember when Shopko, Kmart, and Sears were everywhere. And then one day they're just like, yeah, we're out of business now. Goodbye, everyone. Pack it on up. Everything's on sale. Goodbye. Done. That's it.
Well, it's funny you say that because, you know, really the pandemic, you know, really screwed retail. And yeah. Shopko closed its doors before the pandemic, which is ironic.
Yeah.
And everybody else. Hey, I just found this out, guys. There is one Kmart left and it's in Hawaii. There is one Kmart left.
Wow.
But okay. Yeah, all the stores, Montgomery Ward, Sears and Roebuck. I mean, the list goes on. Gimbel's.
Oh, wow.
And we make fun of that in the show. And one of the things we do make fun of is, you know, in fact, it's an old joke. Macy makes fun of people who shop at Target. Target makes fun of people who shop at Shopko. Shopko makes fun of people who work at Fleet Farm. Fleet Farm makes fun of people who shop at the dollar store. Who does the dollar store make fun of? Goodwill?
I remember in Marinette at the dollar store like 5 years ago, I swear to God, I have this picture somewhere. Steaks, $2.
Oh, like, no.
I've been paying like $3 for my steaks like a sucker for the last 10 years. Frank, you know, I love where you come up with your ideas. They're so local and you really get people invested in the shows. And I want to say this for those of you who, first of all, if you've never been to the Meyer Theater in Green Bay, it is a very special place. It's just this beautiful thing this beautiful theater right in downtown Green Bay. That's where most of Frank's shows are. And if you want a road trip, it's worth it because I went to Frank's Christmas show 2 years ago, brought the wife and kids. It was the perfect Frank, that was so magical because it was like the Meyer Theater is the perfect place to have a Christmas show. Mm-hmm. It's a great theater. The show is great. I highly recommend, even if you know Shopko or just want a good laugh, it's worth a road trip to Green Bay.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny that you talk about the Meyer Theater, built in 1930, opened up on Valentine's Day, and then, you know, 1980, it became a triplex theater, and then it closed down for 10 years, and the pipes were bursting, And the Meyer Foundation came in, put $12 million into place. They ripped all the plaster off the walls. They found out that it was an old Mediterranean style look, and they kept that with the gold, embossing everywhere. And it was the last Fox Theater built in 1930. Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
Yeah. My goodness. Oh, yeah. that sounds like a gorgeous, gorgeous place. There's nothing like old theaters, like when you're in Milwaukee, you go to the Pabst or the Riverside or the High Life Theater. Now it's called the High Life Theater, but you just walk in, you can feel the history, and you're like, I'm gonna go see this band tonight, but who was playing 100 years ago? Because there was someone like vaudeville was playing here 100 years ago. It's beautiful. It's like an old church.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's funny you say that because on that stage at the Meyer Theater, they had Johnny Cash back in the day. They did vaudeville. Yes, they did. They had the troops coming through. But then, you know, the Depression hit and it closed down again in 1933 and it had to reopen again from community. You know, Green Bay, you know, the community seems to come with money, you know, for the Packers or for a theater, you know, and they kept this thing alive. We're one of the lucky ones. We've been at the Meyer Theater now 20 years. Oh my goodness. We're the main tenant. We do 80 shows a year there and we produce and write five original comedy musicals, jukebox musicals. Like this show, Shopko, is based in the 70s, early 80s. So it's all great songs from David Bowie, from Diana Ross, from
Nice.
What's that song we do? Tom sings. What's that song called? By McKinsey. And anyway, my wife's in the room. I'm trying to get some information.
That's great. Also the star of the show and a very talented Amy.
Yes, my wife, Hurricane Smith. In fact, I'm going to ask her to maybe sing harmony with me on a song. She's giving me the look, maybe not. So we'll see. Oh, boy.
She's like, honey, I'm cooking up these $2 steaks. What do you want me to do right now?
Our guest is Frank Hermans. He is a Green Bay theater legend. He writes original stuff and performs them at the Meyer Theater. Definitely worth checking out. Frank, you have another show coming up in May I wanted to ask you about because ever since I learned about the existence of this event that happened in the 60s, Sputnik, mm-hmm. I've been fascinated by it. Part of a Soviet space crashed right outside an art museum in Manitowoc. They have Sputnik Fest every year. It's a blast. Tell us about the Sputnik landing in Manitowoc and what you did with that.
Yeah, Sputnik the Musical, I call it. And I actually wrote this show during COVID, and we were supposed to premiere it in Manitowoc and got shut down. So we did it to a sparse crowd at the Meyer Theater. I thought I'd bring it back. It's the true, unabridged, fictional story of Sputnik. So in 1966, 13 pounds of the first satellite, Sputnik, fell on 8th Street in Manitowoc, and two policemen noticed that... They noticed the small explosion and that the road was hot. And they're like, what is this? And there's actually a spot on the road they have marked on 8th Street. This is where Sputnik fell. Well, it was a huge, huge news story. It was national headlines. The Russians wanted it back, but it was just a pile of sludge. And in fact, the actual piece of Sputnik is in Chicago, I believe, at the art museum, and they made a recreation of it that's on display at the Rars Museum in Manitowoc. So I wrote a fictional story, and I got all the great characters. JFK plays the mayor of Manitowoc. His name's not John F. Kennedy, but he has that accent. And then we have Marilyn Monroe as one of the characters, and then the two police officers. You remember that police show? Herman Munster was in the show. Fred Gwynne.
Car 54, where are you?
54. So my two police characters are those guys. And it just talks about the life and times. And then Boris and Natasha Fatal from Bullwinkle are in the show. And they're coming. They come to get the Sputnik back because there's a secret in there that the Soviet, the mother country, wants back. It's just a hilarious show with great music from the 50s and 60s.
That sounds amazing. That sounds so much fun.
Yeah, it's a hoot.
Yeah.
Sorry, Greg. okay, so if you want to see the Sputnik show, Sputnik the Musical in Manitowoc, that's May 14th. Shopko, say hello to a goodbye at the Meyer Theater, April 9th through the 26th. You've got those shows. I have to ask you, Frank, we have to do a break, and then I want to ask you about another show after a quick break, but... Right now, I texted you this a couple weeks ago. Have you seen Epic yet, the Elvis movie?
You know, it's funny that you say that. We were going to go. One day I was going to go with my buddy Paul, who's a Neil Diamond impersonator, and I didn't, but I hear it's fantastic. I guess I'm going to have to wait for it to come out in Prime. You see it?
I did, and I would say if you can find a theater that still has it, and I told Greg this recently, I never understood... Like I know he's Elvis, he's iconic, and he's just this legendary guy, and I love when you sing his songs, and I like his songs a lot, but I never really understood why he was so great until I saw this movie, because it's just him performing with his band and his backup singers. And you really see what a talented musician he is and what a performer he is. The guy just does not stop moving. So I would love to talk to you after you see it, but we're going to do a very short break. Frank Hermans is here, folks. His show, Say Hello to a Goodbye, about the closing of the Shopko store, is kind of sad, but as Frank always does, it'll be hilarious and great music. That's at the Meyer Theater, April 9th through the 26th. We'll talk to Frank about a few more things coming up after this very short break. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe and Greg Bach on the Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Love it. Well done, Tom. Hey, welcome back to Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabe. Sitting across the state from me is Greg Bach, who is... you're not playing the drums, Greg. I always worry when you're not drumming that something's amiss. There we go. Okay, he's good. All is good in the world. Frank Hermans is with us, folks. He is the legendary Frank Hermans, founder of Let Me Be Frank Productions, and a very prolific playwright and performer and great singer. He joins us periodically here on Nightlight. If you listen, you know that. He is with us via the stream from Northeast Wisconsin. We were talking about his show that opens April 14th called Say Hello to a Good Shopko. Hello, Shopko. Say hello to a goodbye. It's from April 9th through the 26th at the Meyer. It's going to be a great show. Frank, you told us during the break that that's based on a true story.
Yeah, back in 1982, my brother had a couple hoodlum friends, and the Nintendos had just come out. Nintendos were really hot. And back then, there was no cameras or security in these Shopko stores. So what these kids did is they hid in the clothing racks. And when Shopko locked up, they stole or took all the Nintendos, okay? They took that night, they took all the Nintendos from the store. When they got there, they were all gone. And the only reason why they got caught is they sold them to their friends for $75, because they were $150 at the time.
Yes, they were. Yep.
And the kid... The mom comes into his room and says, "Hey, we can't afford that. Where'd you get that?" Well, he narked the kid out, and they got busted. I'm not naming names, but this is a true story. It happened at Green Bay East, 1982. They stole all the Nintendos, but they were busted and did some juvie.
Whoa.
God, I remember when I was a kid, like, oh, he went to juvie. Oh, wow. What did he do? Stole Nintendos.
What is the statute of limitations on stealing video games? You're probably, but if you already did the time, I guess. That's hilarious.
I'm sure both are upstanding citizens to this day.
Oh my goodness. That sounds absolutely amazing. They stayed in until that is gutsy to me. Like that's not just saying like on a Saturday night, let's do it. That's planning. That's a heist.
Premeditated. Yeah.
If you remember at Shopko, they had the circular racks with the clothes around, and you could actually, my wife remembers hiding in between those racks, mm-hmm.
yep.
and mom couldn't find her. So it's true that they did this and nobody noticed them. And there was the only security system they had at Shopko was they would say, "Mr. Roberts," that meant loss prevention, that someone was stealing something. There was no cameras, you know, it was a prime time to steal back then.
I miss my window, damn it.
Man, I was such a good kid back then. I was just hiding in those clothes waiting for my mom to find me. And then you heard those words, "Will a Gregory Bach please come to the front? Your mother is waiting." You're like, oh, I'm in trouble now. I was trying to be whimsical.
Yeah. Yes.
Frank, before we let you go, you've got another show. I love when you do the Elvis Reba and your kind of tribute to these famous great singers. You did it in Marinette twice in the last year, which was fantastic. You're performing, I love the name of this, Meets Opera House. Where is that?
Okay, Meets Opera House is an old hall that was built in the 1920s for polka bands in a place called St. Nazian, Wisconsin.
Oh, nice.
St. Nazian was the home of JFK Prep and the most prolific basketball scorer in Wisconsin state history. Steve Crowley played there in the 80s. It closed in 1982, but this hall is still there, and I was just dropping off a poster, driving through Valder's. I thought, let's go through St. Nazian. And the mom of the owner is the season ticket holder. And she said, "You want to see our hall?" I walked back there. It fits about 250. We walked back there. I go, "Hey, we should do a show here." And well, We did Elvis and Reba 2 weeks ago, and now we're coming back May 8th. I'm actually bringing Neil Diamond along and George Jones and Sharon. Oh. So, yeah, we're doing a show there.
All right, that's awesome. May 8th. You got tons of chances to see Frank and his Band of All-Stars. May 8th at Meats Opera House in St. How do you say that again?
Nazias.
Okay, Nazias. And then
you've
got...
plural, but it doesn't spell that way or sound that way.
Yeah.
The spelling of that town is off-putting at best.
Yes. Yeah.
Hello, Shopko. Say goodbye to a goodbye is at the Meyer Theater April 9th through the 26th. And then you've got Sputnik the Musical, and you're performing that in Manitowoc, which is fun, on May 14th.
We're actually going to be performing that at the Meyer Theater, but in the small backstage. It's dinner theater. We're going back to our roots, how we started dinner theater back in 2000 at the Sports Corner in the SC Grand.
Wow. So
intimate show. We can only fit 150 books a night. There's six shows. It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday matinee, Saturday night, and then Sunday matinee. Dinner and a show and Sputnik right in your face.
Oh my God, I love it. Dude, you are the best. Thank you so much for being with us on the stream tonight. Now you can say whatever you want to Amy once you're off the air. We hope things are well and good on the home front.
Did you hear her laugh? She did. She heard you, but you did hear the laugh.
No, we're on our way to the go ahead. Sorry.
I said we're on our way to rehearsal after this.
Oh, of course. Right. Yeah. Well, say hello to I'm getting your titles mixed up. Say hello to everyone in the family and with Let Me Be Frank Productions. Always a blast, pal. Come back anytime.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You got it.
You too, man. Take it easy. Have a great night.
Bye-bye. Oh, that was fun.
All right. Well, before we get out of here, that was amazing. He's got to come back, and I want him to talk about his history because I feel like that is an amazing lineup to so many shows. And as you said, they just sell out. Like people are just enjoying them so much. I can't wait to have him back. But before we get out of here, we're going to take a really quick moment to get some snacks, get some hydration. We've got the news coming up. Don't forget, this is your last chance, last moment to text in BIRD, B-I-R-D, for the Break into Spring Text to Win Multi-State Contest. Your chance to win $200 today and possibly may win a Verlo mattress set. But you got to text the word in right now via the Civic Media app. BIRD is the word, B-I-R-D. When we come back, we'll be talking about the question of the night. And Dom has a story as well. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe and Greg Bach here on Civic Media. Stay tuned and stay close.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.